I want to talk about a little bit about Mechiras Chametz because there's going to be a couple changes this year to the Mechiras Chametz as far as what we normally do. The change won't be in the actual Mechira, in Mitzvah Shem. The Etzem Mechira hopefully will be the same. But there will be some changes in terms of how you memana the Rav as your Shliach. You know, generally people come over, let's say to me or to whatever Rav, and they say, okay, here, I want to sell you the chametz. It's not really what's going on. You are not selling the Rav your chametz. What's actually going on is, now, if you don't mind, I'm going to mute everyone, and then if you have a question, unmute yourself, okay?
Call from Daniel Jacoby.
So the idea is that when you meet with the Rav, you're being memane the Rav. You are appointing the Rav as a shliach to sell the chametz on your behalf. Now, we'll get into the whole idea of the mechiras chametz itself. But let's do that first, the background. What is, because again, a lot of people have the minig, like we were talking about right before, some people generally don't sell chametz gomer. And this year, a lot of people have come out. I heard a share from Rabbi Shmuel Felder in Lakewood, and I heard a share from many people that they're all saying that this year one should sell whatever they'll need immediately after Pesach. One should sell whatever chametz they'll need immediately after Pesach and not have to rush to get chametz after Pesach. So they should sell chametz gomer. And the reason is a few reasons. Take a chair. A few reasons. Number one is because it's going to be hard to get to the stores. Some people don't know if the stores will have. And even more than that, it's just getting to the stores. And some people, it's very tough to, the Motzei Pesach rush. And people are nervous that they won't be able to get there. They won't have. So therefore, you could just sell the chametz gomer this year. Where does it come from, this whole not selling chametz gomer? That's with an understanding of what is the whole idea of the mechira. Yeah, you have a question? So chametz gomer is obviously Cheerios, bread, crackers, that. Schnapps is a shiloh that's called chametz gomer. Pashtus is chametz gomer, although it's a taruvis. But since chametz is, schnapps is expensive, the minig by people, even if they don't sell chametz gomer, is that they do sell schnapps. And anything that has like ingredients of vinegar or ketchup, that stuff is not chametz gomer. So it would be mostly what you think chametz gomer is, Pretzels and cereal, oatmeal, whatever. Flour, plain flour, unbleached flour may not be chametz gomer. Bleached flour is a shiloh because bleached flour, they clean it. So the flour itself came in contact, the kernels of wheat came in contact with the water. So it's possible that that's mamash chametz gomer at that point. The background to chametz gomer is... The background of Mechiras Chametz is that they used to, one of the Jewish Parnassas was having a selling schnapps, and therefore they had a big, it was a mamashter Parnassa to do it, and therefore they had to come up with this eighth of selling chametz. The Tevua Shor is famous. He has a problem with the concept of selling chametz. He says, the shiloh that he was asked was, is a person, let's say I don't want to sell my chametz, but I have, besides chametz, I have animals, and my animals are, we feed them chametz. So I want to feed my animals chametz. I'm not allowed to feed my animal chametz on Pesach. So I can't sell the chametz. So what I'll do is, because if I sell the chametz, I can't feed it to the animal. So what I'll do is I'll sell the animal to the guy. And instead of selling the chametz, I'll sell the animal to the guy. So now... The Tevua Shor says you're not allowed to do that because Tevua Shor says because in order to get out of the Isra of selling chametz to a guy, in order to avoid the Isra of feeding chametz to your animal, that's an Isra d'Araisa, and we do not rely on Mechiras chametz to get out of an Isra d'Araisa. Because the selling of the chametz is a little shaky, so you cannot get out of the Isra d'Araisa with selling chametz or selling your animal. But it's also derisa to own chametz on Pesach. So the answer to that is no, it's not also derisa to own chametz on Pesach because we do the bittul. We do bittul chametz. And since we do the bittul, so memela, really we mevatel all the chametz. And once we mevatel the chametz, it's only nisra d'rabanan now to not own the chametz. For that nisra d'rabanan, we can rely on the Mechira. Now that brings up a whole set of questions, which is, when do you do the Mechira? Do you do the Mechira's Chametz before the Bittul, or do you do it after the Bittul? Now again, for most people, besides for the Rabbanim, there's no real nafkamina, because you don't know when the Rav is selling it, and you don't know, so you just go about it your business, and whenever the Rav sells it, the Rav sells it. But it is a Shiloh for the Rabbanim to decide. Excuse me one second. Guys. So it brings up a whole question for the Rabbanim. When should you do the Mechira? Should you do the Mechira before the Bittul or after the Bittul? So there's ways, I'll just briefly tell you the Tzadim, because it's interesting. Some say Daf could do it before the Bittul, because you can't do it after the Bittul. In other words, if you're Mevato all your Chametz, then what are you selling to the Goy? You already made it Hefker. So if you already made it Hefker, how are you now going ahead and selling it to the Goy? You can't sell chametz to the guy which you already were mevatel, made it hefker. Oh, by the way, it's not really hefker, I'm selling it. If it's hefker, you can't sell it. So therefore, it would be a chasam sefer, it would be a joke to go ahead and do bittul and then sell it to the guy. So that's not an option. You can't sell the chametz, you can't do bittul and then sell it to the guy. But if you do it the other way, if you sell it to the guy and then do the bittul, so then the problem is that what you sold to the goy wasn't mevotel yet. And not only that, maybe you're like changing your mind. You don't really want to sell it. So it's a big shaila, which one to do. I saw in Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky Sefer, he paskins, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky says, after everything said and done, that the best thing is to do the mechira first and then do the bittul. Again, that's up to the Rav, because if the Rav's going to do it late, most people will not wait for him. So therefore, you know. Okay, now, the etzem appointment of the Rav to do the mechiras chametz. Generally, someone comes to the Rav, they sign a document, and then they tell the Rav, I want you to be a shlech, and then they pick up this sudar. They pick up like some sort of handkerchief, and they pick up some sort of handkerchief, and by doing that, you make a kinyan to make the Rav your shliach. So you really did three things. You appointed the Rav, telling him that he want you to be your shliach. You signed the document saying, this is my chametz, this is what I want you to sell on my behalf. And you picked up this thing called the kinyan sudar. Okay? Now this year, we're not going to be doing that, because we're not going to be in person. So we're definitely going to have one of those three, which is we're going to be sending out documents, and people will be filling out the documents. However, we're still not necessarily going to have a signature, and we're still not necessarily going to have the Rav hearing it directly, and we're not going to have the Kinyan Sudar. Is that a problem? Okay? So now, first of all, we have to understand, let's go one at a time. So, right, so maybe we will meet in person with the guy himself. That will probably have to do. But that's one Rav with one guy. That's not, you know, 1,000 people going to each Rav. You know, that's doable and manageable. But, you know, to establish for the whole tzibah that they should go to their Rav, that's a little more complicated. Number one, the Kinyan Sudar. So I don't know if, you know, it's probably a good thing to understand in general. What in the world are we doing? So you picked up this handkerchief. Now what? How did that affect anything regarding the shlichus? Again, you appointed the Rav a shliach on your behalf to sell the chametz. So what is picking up the sudar, what does picking up the handkerchief have to do with anything? So there's a Rambam. The Rambam says, Yesh Dvarim Harbeitz in Perek Hay of Hilchus Mechira. Yesh Dvarim Harbeitz, there are many things, She'ein Tzrichim Kinyin. You don't really need to make a kinyan. Ve'en l'kinyan b'em tam. There's actually no point in making a kinyan. Kigoyin, and he gives a few examples. Hamashakar avdoi, oy hamigarish es ishtoi, oy ha'oise shliach. When someone makes a shliach, says the Rambam, there is no reason to make a kinyan. You don't need to make a kinyan. You just tell the guy you want him to be your shliach. However, he says, no aguroi v'makoymois lahaknois. We do some things. In these areas, the minig is that we do make a kinyan. Kinyan zesh nagu lahaknis beilu advarim. But the kinyan that we make in these areas, eino moil klum, doesn't really change anything. The whole purpose is lahidia she'enai oimer dvarim elu kimisachek umehasel. The point of making the kinyan is to show that you're serious. The Rambam says the point of making this kinyan is not like normally when I sell you an item, you have to make a kinyan. We've discussed this many times. And when I want to sell you something, it's not enough for you to pay me the money. You got to make a kinyan on it. So if I want to sell you this pen, you can pay me money for the pen, but then it doesn't become yours necessarily. In order for it to become yours, you have to make a kinyan, hagbah, something. You got to make some sort of kinyan. When you appoint a shliach, it's not true. Really, the appointment of the shliach is by itself. When you say that you want it to be your shliach, so why do you pick up this handkerchief? Why do you make a kinyan? To show that you're serious. El shagamar beliboy v'achakach amar. Yeah, I was serious when I said it. Lefikach amar belev shalem ani amar v'gamarti lasis davar zeh. If you say that I'm serious, ain't a tzarach davar achakla. You don't need anything. So the fundamental point of this Rambam is that in fact you do not need a kinyan to make a shliach. So when you want to make me a shliach to sell the chametz on your behalf, as long as you tell me that I should be your shliach, really that's enough. And there's no reason to require more than that. Just the Rambam says the minig is to make a kinyan because we're afraid that people aren't serious. And therefore, oh yeah, be my shliach. If it's just words, I'll just do my shlichus, whatever, people may be lax in it and they won't really mean it. So therefore, in order to make the Indian serious, according to the Rambam, we were knowing to make the kinyan. So obviously, the kinyan itself is not ma'akiv. The shlichus, as long as you're serious, is fine, even without making a kinyan. So therefore, this year, we were not going to require kinyanim, because it's too complicated, and therefore, we'll have to assume that everyone's serious, regardless of the kinyan. Now, what about the other two items? Sorry about that. What about the other two items? So what about the other two items that we talked about? Which is the signing of the document and saying it by pass. So signing of the document is actually important because aside from selling the chametz, the Rav also sells or rents the places where the chametz is found. You ever heard the Rav say, you're making my shliach to rent, to sell your chametz and rent out the places that the chametz is found. Now, why is he saying that, first of all? Just to understand the background. Why is the Rav, aside from selling the chametz, why is he renting the places where the chametz is found? So the answer is, for three reasons we're doing that. Number one is because we use the area where the chametz is to perform the kinyan chatzar. You know, when we actually sell the chametz to the goy, we perform multiple kinyanim. We have the goy pay for it, we have the goy doing different things. Now, obviously, one thing the goy cannot do is go into each person's house and pick up the chametz, right? It's for 1,000 people. He's not going to go into each person's house and pick up the chametz. So we have to be creative in figuring out kinyanim to make the goy own the chametz properly at pi halacha. So one of those things that we do is called kinyan chatzah, which the halacha is if that you own or rent out or own or rent an area, that area, anything in that area becomes yours automatically if the person wants to give it to you. So therefore, one of the kinyanim that the guy makes is that the area where the chametz is inside his own chatzar, because we rent out the area, the floor space, or the area where the chametz is found, and therefore, through the kinyan chatzar, the chametz itself becomes his. That's not the main reason why we rent out the places. The main reason why we rent out the places is because the Mishabura brings down that we don't want to rely on leaving the chametz in the Jew's house. The chametz should not be in the yid's house on Pesach, regardless of whether he sold it or not. So therefore, we rent out the place to make it that it is as if he was moitzi the chametz mershusai. He took the chametz out of his house and he put it into the guy's house. And therefore, that's the other reason why we rent out the chametz. So to make a shliach, to rent out real estate, that actually does require a signature according to some mefarshim and poiskim. And therefore, we do want someone to preferably to sign a shtar. Now, we did in the koil this year, we sent out two options. One option was the regular document that you could print, download, fill it out, sign, and send it back. But that's a big hassle for a lot of people. So we filled out another way to do it, which is like a Google form. So you fill out the form, and then, if, you know, we get it automatically. Now, this Google form doesn't really have a signature line. So how do we relate to the signature? So the real idea is we just need something which is binding according to secular law. As long as it's binding, it's a binding transaction, that's already considered a strong enough signature. So according to the lawyers that we spoke to, it doesn't have to be a signature. Any clear affirmation that this is binding is enough according to law. So therefore, we put a box that says, check here. By checking here, you are confirming that no other transaction is necessary in order for this appointment of the shlichus, et cetera, and this is binding by law, and that is actually binding by law. So therefore, that's enough, and that's what we actually filled in. Okay, so that was the way to get around the shtar. Now the signature. So we're doing a signature, we're not doing a kinyan. Now, really, that's enough. However, some rabbanim really, and now you have, now the Rav has the document. The Rav knows that the person's serious because he checked off, you know, and he signed a shtar. However, some rabbanim still would prefer to hear the tzivoy directly from the person saying that, you know, I want to I want you to sell the chametz on my behalf. So therefore, aside from filling out the shtar, what we're doing is we would like for everyone to, you know, call me up or whoever of the, you know, whatever I'm using, speak to them. But in our case, what we're trying to do is, besides filling out the document, just call up and say, I would like for you to be my shliach. Therefore, I've heard now from you that I should be your shliach, and I have your document and signature. The only thing we're missing is a kinyan, and that's definitely enough to perform the mechiras chametz. I would like to point out one other thing, which the Shulchan Aruch Rav says is a gevaldik idea. He says, really, remember, if anyone learned this Masechtas Pesachim, in Masechtas Pesachim it says that really, Shnei Dvarim, Einam Bershusai Shel Adam, V'Atara Asan Ki'ilu Einam Bershusai. There are two things that really don't belong to you, but you're responsible for them as if they belong to you. If a person digs a bar Bershusai Rabin, he doesn't own the bar, so why is he chayiv if someone falls into the bar? Right? He digs a pit in Rishus Arabin. He digs a pit in a public area and someone falls in. He has to pay for the damage, but it's not his. So if your ox goes ahead and damages, that makes sense. It's yours. If your fire goes, that's yours. But the bar is not yours. So the term made a chiddush that since you dug it, it's considered like it's yours. The other one is chametz. Chametz on Pesach is really not yours anymore. Because regardless of your bittul, regardless of anything, because once Pesach comes, it's aser ba'na. You cannot benefit from it. And therefore, it's valueless. Once it's valueless, you can't really own it. And therefore, by definition, once it's Pesach, it's not yours. So therefore, how could you ever be over the iser of owning chametz on Pesach? The minute Pesach comes in, the minute that it comes in, the Pesach started. Really, it's not yours anymore. So how do you own it? So Torah made a chiddush. Since that even though you really shouldn't own it, but it's considered that. The Torah put it in your rishos. So says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, that's all assuming that you want it. But let's say you made a clear declaration, I don't want this chametz to come back into my rishos. The Torah took it out of my rishos, it's aser ba'na, and I don't want it. So it doesn't come back into your rishos. So he says, by you making a shliach and clarifying that you don't want this chametz, you don't want the chametz in your rishos, by you doing that, you've now showed that you don't really want the chametz, and therefore the chametz doesn't come back into your rishos. So he says, really, midiraisa, even if the Rav would never actually sell the chametz, midiraisa wouldn't be yours anyway. That's what Shulchan Aruch HaRav says. So therefore, signing the document really itself is enough, it's serious, but telling the Rav that you want to sell to him is also good because that's another form of declaration that you don't want the chametz and you become his shliach. So therefore, you know, if a person can get a hold of a Rav, it's better. Obviously, it's enough to just fill out a document, especially if that's what the Rav is asking for. That's enough to fill out the document online and do it. Now, someone asked about DocuSign. So we looked into it. It's true. DocuSign is a real signature. But it's the same thing in legally, apparently, it's just a formal recognition, except for industries that really require a formal signature. So just having a box that you could check off saying that I agree is really, for what we need, equivalent to the DocuSign option. The person that asked that question. We looked into it Friday. We were trying to figure out if you need a DocuSign document or you could do it on Google Forms with just a box. So that was the maskana, that the box is enough because legally that it's enough, it's binding enough for what we would require. Okay, so we're not going to discuss this here, which we do sometimes, what's chametz gomer, what's not chametz gomer. I think people are going to be selling all their chametz this year. And the like, the that's one change. And you know, as some person have said, you don't need to make hataras and darim, even if your custom is normally to sell chametz gomer. In this case, you don't have to sell, you don't have to make hataras and darim, you could sell the chametz gomer as far as what you do with the rav. So like we said, you don't need a real kinyan. All you need is all you need is to tell the Rav and you know, either or both, telling the Rav and to filling out a document to do it. Now, when the we want as much as possible to make that the mechira is serious. We don't want people to think, you know, that it's not serious. And therefore, the places that you've sold to the guy, you really should not be going in there during Pesach. Because if a person goes in there during Pesach, they're kind of making a joke of the Mechira. Now, I remember I was with one time in Lakewood, I was with the Rav, and someone comes in and says, I want to sell my office for Pesach. Your office, why can't you just clean it? What do I have to sell it for? It's not such a big deal. Why do you have to sell it? Just, you know, how much chametz do you have? Just sell it. Just clean it. No, I can't clean it. I have to sell it. Okay. So are you going to, it's going to be closed over Yom Tov, right? So, no, we're going to be using it. Of course you can't sell. You can't sell the office and then use it on Yom Tov. Then it's a steer in a bay. So people tend to like go out of hand with this mechira. They got, you have to take it seriously and understand that the areas which are being sold to the guy are off limits. The Chazon Ish did say someone forgot, very, very common, people forget something in the area that they sold to the guy. Certain things that they need for Pesach. So you're allowed to go in once and get something, but numerous times over and over again, it just, again, it's a pshia, it means you're not taking it serious, and we would really discourage people from going into the place multiple times, from going into the place that they've sold to the guy multiple times. Number two, the area that you sell to the guy has to be marked off. B'mechitzas yud, it's like a mechitzas asara, that this area is sold to the guy. And therefore, the way we do that is usually that the area that's sold to the guy, we usually marked, you know, with a piece of tape. And on the tape, you say, you know, sold to the guy, or some sort of mark that, you know, any area with red tape or blue tape or paper sold. It's very important to do that because since people are at home, you may end up going into the closet that was sold to the guy. And therefore, the area that's being sold to the guy, you should tape off and mark and sell to the guy. Now, common question, especially maybe for this year. Yeah. Okay. So the answer is to that is that really as it is, so really, that was the Tevua Shor's question. The Tevua Shor said that the whole mechira is like sticky, and therefore you should avoid it. Now, some answer, yeah, who cares if it's sticky? But you did it, right? You made the kinyanim, and therefore you formally made the kinyan. It works, but eventually that's good for this year. But next year, you're going to think back and say, "Hey, this is not a real kinyan." So even when you're doing it, you think it's some sort of religious process. We have a Seder, we sign a document we eat matzah, we sign a document with the rabbi. Like, it's just a religion, and people don't realize that it's not a religious ceremony. It's a chashamishpat momentous kinyan. And therefore, if eventually people stop taking it seriously, they don't know what they're doing when they're selling it. They don't think that they don't have the das to actually do the mechira eventually. And anything without das, a maisa with no das is not considered a maisa. So if you really have to have intention to sell it, if you're showing now that you don't have intention, then for sure next year you're not going to. So therefore, we have to keep the mechira integrity. We have to keep the integrity of the mechira that people are actually selling it. Okay. So we prefer that people don't go into the area. Okay, is that what we're discussing? before the question, that the area has to be marked off, because if you're home, then you shouldn't be doing it. Now, the question comes up a lot of times. Let's say there's a room that my guest room, unfortunately this year we're not gonna have guests, so I don't feel like cleaning the room for Pesach, and I don't know what's in there, what's not in there, I don't have time, and I don't have the koyach to clean it. I want to just put all my stuff in there, lock the room, and not check it for Pesach. Am I allowed to do that? So on a regular year, a lot of times people come to me and say, I'm going to a hotel for Pesach, I want to sell my whole house, and Shalom Yisrael. I said, sell your whole house, but Chazal say you're supposed to do B'dikas Chametz. Our La Abbas, our Boitkin is a Chametz. Larna, the first Mishnah Psachim, the night of the 14th, you're supposed to check your house for Chametz. It doesn't say on the night of the 14th, make sure you've sold your Chametz so you don't do B'dikah. It says you're supposed to do B'dikah. That's the Mitzvah Derabbanan. So to go ahead and sell your house to get out of the Mechira, out of the B'dikah, is really not a good thing. The Gemara in Bracha says that you're not supposed to sell, do tricks to get out of a Mitzvah. The Mitzvah is to check your house. You're supposed to check your house. So on a typical year, why? No, but you're selling your house to get rid of the chametz. So since you're selling your house to get rid of the mitzvah, is that appropriate? So on a regular year, I would discourage that, and I would say that you really do need to make sure that you're doing the mitzvah properly. You do have to do the mitzvah and sell the chametz. You do have to do the mitzvah and do the bedika. And if there's ways to make it easier. You don't have to check every nook and cranny, just sweep the floor, check, make sure there's no Cheerio and cookie-sized pieces of chametz on the floor, and you don't have to check for crumbs or anything like that. You could definitely sell the cabinets and sell the closets and just the floor space of the room, that's fine. However, this year, if most people are home, so now the question is not about not doing bedika, because I will be doing bedika. I'll do bedika on the whole entire house, just this one room I'm not going to do. So you don't have the same problem, because you're going to be doing bedika in most of the house. And therefore, really, it's okay to sell rooms and say, I'm not going to do bedika there, I'm not going to clean that area, I'm just going to sell it to the guy. That's okay. But one could have a kasha, and the Mishnah Berurah deals with this question, it's in Taf Lamed Zayin. One could have a question, says, one second. The halacha is that if it belongs to me on the night of the 14th, right? If it belongs to me on the night of the 14th, then it's my room at the Zman of the bedika. At the time that the mitzvah's bedika started, it's my room. So it's my mitzvah. The fact that tomorrow I'm going to be selling it to the guy, by the time that tomorrow I'm going to be selling it to the guy, how does that get me out of the mitzvah? Right now, at the night of the 14th, it's mine. Tomorrow is a different story. But at the time of the bedika, it's mine. Similar to what you find if you have a tenant moving into a house. If he moved in at the night of the 14th, it's his mitzvah. If he's moving in on the day of the 14th, then the landlord has to check. So the bottom line is, if it's your house at the time of the 14th, then you should have to check it probably. So this was a machloikes between the Makar Chaim, who's the Nesivus HaMishvot Chavaz Das. He says, taka this issue, and he says, even the areas that you're going to sell tomorrow, even the areas you're going to sell tomorrow, today they require bedika. Now you'll say, well, there's plenty of chametz in there, I didn't clean it, and I know there's chametz. That's his shita. The Mishnah Berurah brings down that there are people argue on that, and they say, no, I know that tomorrow I'm going to sell it. Since I know tomorrow I'm going to sell it. So it's just like, let's say, chametz that I know tomorrow I'm going to burn. I don't have to check for it now. I put aside all my chametz I'm going to burn in a certain closet. I don't have to sell it now. I know it's there, and I'm going to burn it tomorrow. So therefore, I don't have to sell it. So the Mishnah Berurah brings down, in Siman Tav Lamed Zayin, that from the Sefer Bris Olam, that he says that Omnam b'tshuvas binyan olam choylek v'daitoy de'ein tzarichin bedika. De'bze atzmei shemoichel l'machol l'goy mekayim tashbisu bir. I don't have to check the areas I'm going to sell to the goy. V'legar mechametz shemoitzei achar bedika. And v'chulu v'chulu. And tomorrow, it's fine, you can sell it to the goy. Now, the Mishnah Berurah does say, if you could, you sell it early. We are minhag here in this community right now is that we do not do that. We sell all the chametz. Some communities have, multiple mechiras. They sell some of the areas on the 13th. We basically sell only on the 14th, and that's okay. You could rely on that. And therefore, areas that you don't want to check, you could just mark them off, and you can sell to the guy, and that's it. If even if it's full rooms or whatever, if you're not staying home and you want to do that to the whole house, then I have a little bit of an issue with that, because then you're using the mechira as a trick to get out of the whole mitzvah bedika. That's much less shaykh. But if you're doing a bedika on most of your house, you just want to sell certain areas, that's okay. You could sell those areas, and you don't have to do bedika. You don't have to do a bedika on those areas. That's fine. By the way, I just going back earlier because I see the sefer on my desk. I just forgot. In the Orchas Rabbeinu, they bring down that even the Chazonish was not makbid to do a kinyan sudar, a kinyan with the rav that he sold the chametz with. He said it's fine. However, you wanna do it, you can do it. And that's okay. So now, in our shtar, we wrote this year to make things a little easier. We gave the option of people that they can decide to check off every area that they have. But another option you have is you could check off the box that says I'm going to sell everything that is marked with blue tape or whatever. Anything, any area which is marked, I'm selling. Now, at the time that you're filling out that shtar, you don't really know what's going to be marked. But hopefully, by the time we sell it to the guy, you've already marked everything. And therefore, you don't have to decide at the time that you're filling out the shtar exactly what areas you're going to be selling. That's okay. You can just mark off all the areas. Check off the box that says I'm going to mark off any areas which are marked, and then those areas now are going to be the areas that are sold. As a matter of fact, the Chazon Ish in the Sefer Orchos Rabbeinu even brought down that even if at that time of the mechira you weren't sure which areas you marked, and you marked them only after the mechir was actually done, it's still good enough, because it's like Yesh Brera, and he bought all the areas, and that's what the Chazon Ish sometimes relied on. So that's also okay. Okay, is there any... is there any questions? Yeah, because this way you can stuff things in, and a lot of times, you know, people will mark off specific areas. Then as they're cleaning and as they're preparing, they realize, no, okay, you know what, I'm not going to check this. This cabinet in the bathroom, I'm going to just mark off, done. You know, so a lot of times if you specify too much, you know, it's a little bit of an issue. Okay, now I just do want to point out that like your cars and stuff like that, you do have to clean, and you cannot sell them because you're going to be using your car. Your office, like I said before, if you're not going into your office and you're not planning on going to your office now either anymore, just sell it. You have no choice at this point, and you could sell your office and your desk and stuff like that and rent it out. People... No, as long as you mark off all the areas, the husband has the right to be a shliach for his wife. As a matter of fact, there's a shiloh that they bring down. You know that every year we include everyone in the mechira, even people who didn't call yet. And they're going to call, because usually after the mechira, between the mechira and when we ben shlich on Erev Pesach, we get plenty of phone calls. I forgot to do mechira's chametz this year. So in the past, when we Rabbi Lairfield, by the Mechir, he always speaks out, okay, right now I'm having in mind, I'm selling you all the chametz for people that will come in the future. Shigal davar shel b'laylam, but we do mention that. You know, people that don't even... So there's such an idea of zochen. I mean, there's a question. Are you allowed? Is it called zochen la'adam shlo b'fanav? There's a concept that something which is good for a person, you could be their shliach even without asking them. So is selling someone's chametz good for them? So pashtus it is, because if you don't sell it, it's going to become aser ba'ana. Okay. Now, one other thing about it, we started off mentioning that the kelim mikvah is available, but if not, if people aren't comfortable, there are kulas about it. One of the kulas that's mentioned about tefilas kelim is if you sell your kelim to a guy, you can use them without tefila. Okay. So we are going to include a line that any kelim that you don't want to be tovel, you could check off here, and we'll sell them to the guy with the chametz. Okay, but that only works for kelim that you haven't used yet. So your pots and pans, and you're cooking now already, or you're cooking before Pesach, it won't work for that, because you're already using them before Pesach. But there's certain kelim we only use on Pesach. After the mechira, let's say the hot water urn. You know, you have a hot water urn that, you know, you're buying a new one for Pesach, so you're only filling it up for Pesach. Or you have a crock pot that you're only going to put up the chalent later. You're not putting it up now. So in that case, we're going to include a line that you could sell those types of kelim to the guy, and they won't require tefillah. Anything again that you need to use before Pesach is not going to work for, but it will work for the stuff that you only want to do, that you only want to use on Pesach itself, and you can include that in the mechira. There's a general question every year, do you sell the kelim that have chametz to a guy? And the answer to that is you don't want to do that, because if you sell your toaster oven or your sandwich maker to a guy, after Pesach, when you buy it back from the guy, now you're going to have to be toivel it again, because it belonged to the guy in the meanwhile. So now, after Pesach, you bought it again. Buying used kelim from a guy is also mechayev tevila. So therefore, we don't want to do that. What we usually do is, you sell any Say that again? What do you mean? You're renting him the mekaymus, and you're selling him the chametz inside the place. What needs tefillah then? Yeah, but... No, I'm not renting him the use of my pots and pans. I'm saying in a regular year, I don't let the guy use my pots and pans during the year. The only thing we sell to the guy is we sell to him chametz which is attached to the kelim. So you have a sandwich maker with all sorts of globs of chametz all over. You could put it away. You don't have to clean it. And the chametz attached to the kli is sold to the guy, but the kli itself is not in a general year. And also, the stipler put in there that we put in the chametz which is balua in the kelim, the chametz which is absorbed in the kelim, the flavor which is absorbed in the kelim, which we spoke about last couple of weeks. You have to kasher. So the kelim that you're selling, the chametz absorbed in the kelim, we also sell, which is a big, you know, shiloh if that works. First of all, it's not worth a shavar pruta. I mean, who wants blias of kelim? You know, who wants flavor that's stuck inside walls of kelim? So it's unlikely that you need to do that, but a lot of shtaras do include that. And, you know, we include, but we don't sell the kli itself. This year, for brand new stuff that you didn't have a chance to be toivel, we can include that in the mechira if you write it in. And, you know, those kelim won't have to be toiveled because, you know, to get out of the tefillah issue. Again, that won't work for... Right, that's what I'm saying. But you, on a general year, if you have a sandwich maker, we're not selling the sandwich maker to the guy. We're just selling him the chametz which is attached to it. But the sandwich maker itself belongs to the yid, so therefore it's not a problem. But this year, let's say you're selling him your hot water urn, and then after the mechira, let's say about noon, you fill it up. So we're going to sell, the nusach we're going to use is that I'm selling the guy any kli which I bought for Pesach and haven't used yet, and we're going to ask him reshus specifically, do you mind that until you come to pick up the kelim, if the Jew whose house it's in uses it in the meanwhile? So you're like borrowing it from him. So if you're borrowing it from him, it doesn't require tefillah. It's only if you buy it from him. Yes, it's a 1 year dispensation. Correct. Correct, because those things were never toiveled. And by the time Pesach comes back, we're going to be buying it back from him. So we're going to buy back everything. Hopefully he'll agree to sell. And we're going to buy back everything after Pesach. If you're going to be toiveling it later, then L'chor, yeah. You know? Whatever is a chatzitza. I mean, I don't remember if burnt on grease is a chatzitza or not. You know, something you cannot mock, you're not makpid on. Maybe it's not a chatzitza. I'm not sure. You know, for kashering, you have to get rid of it. But I don't know for toiveling, it's that chomer. So therefore, yeah, next year, hopefully, mitzvah Hashem, we're not going to need that kula. And therefore, I would recommend not using the kula of assuming that it still belongs to the guy. And I would go back to what we do generally, which is, you know, toiveling all of our new kelim. Okay, now, by the way, just another thing is we do ask the guy at the Mechir or Rishus that if any Jew wants to go into the area that they've rented to the guy, if they allow us to go in, and the guy does allow us to go in. So therefore, it's not Geneva to go in. It's just, like I said, to go into the area is more like shows that you were not taking it seriously. And therefore, you know, that's the issue. But we do ask Rishus from the guy specifically, if they mind, if we do it. One question, which is an interesting question, is what happens if you find chametz on Pesach? So the general halacha is if you find chametz on Pesach, we burn it right away. The problem is that if we assume that I sold all the chametz to the guy, then when I find it on Pesach, I'm now burning the guy's chametz. So how am I allowed to do that? I don't know the answer to that question right now. I have to think. I mean, I know it's a question which is asked. I'm bringing it up. The minhag is that we do burn. Correct, right? That's what I'm saying. So pashtus, you'd say, okay, it's the guy's chametz, and that's it. But you know, bottom line is, I think the minhag is that we burn it. So I'm not sure exactly how that works. You know, if someone finds chametz on Pesach, we could figure out the sugya. But that's a ha'ara that people ask. Some of Farshim ask that question. Okay. All right, if there's any other questions, we can ask any. Is there any other questions? Yeah, let me. I'll unmute yourself. Let's see, I can unmute you probably. Yeah, I can. Start again? I can't hear you, Jerry. Jerry, I don't hear you. So I don't know, right, so I don't know the answer yet. I haven't seen a psak come out on that. Right, so I'm assuming that the poiskim are going to say that you could mishtatif through some sort of video conference or even a phone call in a siyum. Once that psak comes out, if we have a siyum, then I'm sure we will have a siyum, yes. Once the psak comes out, that it's okay to do that. I just haven't seen a formal psak yet about that come out. But I'm sure that the person will say that you can mishtatif that way. I'm just not 100% sure. But I think I'm assuming that that's going to be okay, and there will be information about that erev Pesach. Obviously, nothing wrong with while you're home trying to chop around and making a scene yourself if you have to. But yeah, I think we're going to be making a siyum for Bukharis. No, you don't make a Kaddish or anything. You just finish it. You finish it and you celebrate. That's it. You say the Hadron. You could say Hadron. Yeah. But you don't have to say a Kaddish. It doesn't require a Hadron. There are certain things where Moshe has a tshuva about a Sefer of Nach, for example. If you learn the Sefer of Nach Bi'in, you can make a Siyum. I don't think there's a Hadron on that. But he says you can make a Siyum on that. So anything which is a Simcha of completion, you can, you know, is valid for a Siyum. So a Sefer of Nach, if it's learned properly with Rashi, or at least one of the Mefarshim, I think he says, if it was learned with one of the Mefarshim, then, you know, that's That's okay. Jerry, I'm not sure I see your question. Anyone else? Okay, so, I mean, that's really a different topic, totally a different topic, medications. Definitely, you don't need, this year, I would not go crazy trying to buy new soap and shampoo for Pesach. There's enough kulas that you could just buy whatever you need, you keep whatever you have and just use it. As far as medications also, you know, medications generally are okay. The main two areas that I would be careful with are vitamins. Jerry, how about you text me on my phone and I'll look and see your question, okay, Jerry? You text me on my phone. So the main two areas I would be more concerned about is vitamins, not medication. Medication is okay. A vitamin or some sort of a supplement is more of a shayla. And that's number one. And number two is perfumes, things with like real alcohol. Those I would sell with the chametz. Perfumes, a cologne, that type of stuff, that's real alcohol, I would sell with the chametz. Everything else, I would just ignore this for this year. Assume it's fine. No, it's like a regular Shabbos tefillah, I mean, basically. Not really. I guess we're going to need, I mean, Mr. Shem, by then things will, who knows what's going to be. We don't know what's going to be tomorrow. So, but closer to the Yom Tif, we'll have to, we'll. The only thing I was thinking is that there's a Shiloh, what to do on B'negea, saying Mashav Aruch Umorid HaGeshem in Musaf of Pesach on the second day. Because we say tefillahs, we say tefillas tal. We stop saying Mashav Aruch Umorid HaGeshem on Pesach. So, if there's no official tefillas tal, so when do you stop saying Mashav Aruch? You know, but you know. So whatever. I guess we'll get to that later. Someone just asked me a question going back to what I said earlier in the shiur about why. What's the pshat in the shita that says to do the mechir before the bittel, if we are selling chametz? If you're selling chametz, that's midaraisa aser. So the answer is to that is because I'm selling it to the guy, but it's before Pesach still. Then I do the bittel, and my intention on the bittel is, if it's sold, then I'm relying on the sale. If it's bottle, I'm relying on the bittel. And mamela together, however much I need the bittel, I'm using the bittel, however much I'm doing the sale, I'm doing the sale. So they work together at that point. But if you do the bittel first and then the sale, it's not shaykh to sell what you're mevatel. So this way, if you sell it first and then do bittel, the bittel will work both on what you sold already on the deraisa level, and what you didn't sell, you know, it'll work that way. There's one problem with doing another, by the way, I didn't mention, but another problem with doing the mechira after you sell, you burn the chametz, is because the whole idea of burning the chametz is you should burn the last chametz that you own. But if you now still own chametz and you're going to burn and you're going to sell to the guy, when you burnt the chametz, you didn't mekayim tashbisu because you didn't completely get the chametz out of your rishus. So that's another reason why you should really sell the chametz first and then burn what you have, so that you're actually burning the last remnants of your chametz. But again, that's not mostly up to you, it's mostly up to the Rav, so, you know, that will have to be, you know, that's up to the Rav to decide. Okay, Jerry, one last time, you want to try your question? See if it works? Because I'm not hearing your question, Jerry. Okay. Yeah, you should burn a kazayas, not a crouton. It should be a kazayas. So like a pita or something. And it should be like a pita, like a kazais, and whatever the else that you found during the bedika. So it should be the 10 pieces that you found during the bedika. But the 10 pieces, the halacha is that each piece is less than a kazayas. So some say, but you put it in one bag, now it's a kazayas. So you could rely on that. Some people want that the actual piece itself is a kazayas. Whatever. But the point is basically you could keep a very minimal amount of chametz to burn, just the 10 pieces that you did by the bedika, and maybe one kazayas of chametz, and the rest sell or throw out. Now, when you throw out the chametz, make sure that it's still not in a garbage can, which is in your reshus. So you take the garbage can to the swale. You know, it's better not to keep it in your own garbage can, because there's a question if your garbage can is your chatzar. So, you know, hopefully, I haven't seen anything about an arranged garbage, but, you know, whatever it is. What? Sorry. Yeah, but are you sure you're getting it into the bag and everything like that? You have garbage. Okay, look, let's wait and see what happens if we need to do that, you know? Right, so there's a big shaila. If you live in a building, once you put the garbage in your, you know, dumpster in the building, do you ever shush over that dumpster? Because that's part of your fees go to pay for that dumpster. So you really have a bailus in the dumpster. So the place can kind of are not sure of getting, if throwing the garbage into the dumpster is considered getting it out of your shus completely. Okay, so that's not. But you didn't throw it out of your property, that's the problem. It's still in your property. So, you know, unless it's, it calls on its royal achilas kelev and it's in your property, it's a problem. So you're saying it's like a bittel. I mean, we don't rely on the bittel by itself. The midor abundant, you have to get rid of it out of your property. So it's not enough to just do bittel. So either you got to sell it or you got to burn it. So it's not enough to just do that. It's a very good question. If you have a set time, like I know I'm still davening 10 o'clock, I try to keep the same schedule. If you have some sort of shomer system set up, then it could be you could do bedikas chametz first. But otherwise, I have to look into that again. I can't answer that. I mean, pashtus. If you're noyig now to daven marv at the beginning of the zman, like by shkia, then you should probably daven marv first. If you're trying to daven marv by tzeis ha'kochavim, then it could be you could start bedikas chametz earlier, and therefore you should do that first. But I guess next week we'll mavara that question. Okay. Now, someone asked me about the kashering. Last two Sundays was the shiur on kashering. They're both online. Rabbi Friedman gave a shiur last Tuesday, which is online, about, you know, a lot of general Mishailas Benegea making Pesach. This Tuesday night, Rabbi Friedman is going to be giving a shiur on the Seder. Thursday night, I hope to be giving a shiur on Erev Tavshilin, you know, because 3-day Yom Tif. And it's going to be confusing because people, if there's no shul, so people get confused. So about, you know, how to make Yom Tif, you know, 3-day Yom Tif and the complications of that. There'll probably be a shiur on Wednesday night, Binigeya, you know, just ideas of the Seder and the Haggadah and stuff like that. Next Sunday, hopefully there'll be a shiur. It'll be Pesach related. We'll figure out the topic, you know, between now and then. If anyone has specific topic to discuss, we can, you know, ask me some questions. We can figure out what topic to bring up next Sunday. Okay? All right. So keep in touch. Keep posted. If anyone has questions, let me know. And if anyone wants, if anyone's going to do Mechiras Chametz with their Rav, they should do it with their Rav. If you're gonna do it with me, you could stay on now, and you could, this way I could hear you, could be mimanami on the screen, I could see you, and you could tell me you want me to be your shliach, and then just fill out the document. That could be enough. So, if anyone wants to do that, it went out in the email this morning. It went out in our email this morning, so you should be able to have the link. If you just want to stay on now, you save yourself a phone call. You could just tell me, yeah, I want you to be my shliach, and then fill it out, and that should be enough. So anyone wants to do that, it's even better. We'll do it through video conference, not just through telephone, okay? But again, I recommend anyone, you know, do it with your Rav, but otherwise, if I'm available, and you could, you can be memanim now through a shliach, okay? So, okay. Okay, so, very good. I see Yoni Schwartz is next here. Okay. And rent the mekoymes that the chametz is found. Okay, fine. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I'll be your shliach. Yes, and rent the places. Yeah, okay. I can't hear you. Isaac, I can't hear you. You're talking, but I can't hear you. Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah, you can do 2 hours. You don't have to do four. You can do 2 hours. It should just make. I think it's much better to keep your racks inside the oven racks. Keep. Someone told me, oh, they took out the racks because the company says, you know, to keep it, and it's going to ruin it. So they ran it on 4 hours to be machmir, but then they took out the racks because they were afraid of the racks. So now your chumrah ended up in a kula. So you're better off doing 2 hours and keeping your racks in. Again, I don't know, after 2 hours your racks will be fine. I'm not taking a price on that. But lemaisa, you could do 2 hours. It's okay. And self-clean. I don't think there's temperatures. The self-clean is self-clean. It's just a question of how long you run the cycle for. Well, there's a question on Kol Dichvin in general, which is, you're not allowed to invite someone to come in to your house to eat the Korban Pesach. Kol Dichvin Yesev Yifsach. Kol Dichvin Yesev Yifsach. You're inviting people now to join your Korban Pesach. First of all, there's no Korban Pesach. Second of all, you can't invite people to your Korban Pesach now because they have to be nimna on it from before. And second of all, why are we saying it in Aramis? So a lot of the reason is we're just saying what they used to say. It's not necessarily a formal thing. So, Adrava, maybe do it, and then if they know what you're, and they'll ask why in the world we're doing it, maybe this year we shouldn't do it. That's a better question. They'll ask your question, and you'll tell them that, no, this is the minhag in Klal Yisrael, and we always keep the minhag. And anyway, we're not really inviting people. We're just doing whatever the nusach, we're just reminding ourselves what they used to do. but it's a good point. Just wash it off. You don't need a new one. Wash it off very well, especially because the light box, it's like there's a glass, and the glass is like held by a plastic. So the plastic, like where the glass meets the plastic, there's like a, just, you know, just make sure there's no like schmutz there. If it's a flat surface, you could for sure use it. You know? Okay? Well, it depends how you burnt it. If you burn it like they do in the big fires, then the fuel for the fire is the chametz. So then it's asar bana l'chara. I remember we had a shiloh one year, my neighbor, we were doing it, and then someone came and wanted to roast. It was after the Zman, you know, so it was before the Zman, it was fine, but we were like, you know, they roast more. It depends how you do it. If, let's say you have a barbecue grill, so the grill, the fuel has nothing to do with the chametz that you're burning on top, right? So maybe that's, so the fact that 5 minutes ago you burned chametz on it has nothing to do with right now. But there's still tam of chametz all over the place. I don't know how you're going to do that. I mean, and if you're doing it in like an outside flame, so the fuel itself is the chametz. So that's for sure. But what's burning, Lamaisa? Something's still burning. Okay, but you have to make sure that it's completely burnt out and it's not part of the fuel of the fire. Oh, you're right. I mean, it could be that if you burn it, it's not a sabana yet, the chametz. Yeah, but, you know, but it's not a sabana yet if you're burning it in the right, you know, you're not supposed to burn it after it's a sabana. You're burning it in the fourth hour or whatever. Lemaisa, it doesn't sound like a great idea to me. I can't say it's asr though. What's your question? Why is it? It's asr ba'na because it's asr ba'na. What do you mean? Chametz is asr ba'na. If you use chametz, therefore you're not allowed to use it as fuel. It's the first Mishnah in the second parak of Pesachim. Right, that's what you're saying. So you're burning it in the morning, it's still not asr ba'na, right? Right, right. No, I don't know. Right. Yeah. Right. Okay, so let me write this down. There's a couple of interesting questions, you know, that I have to get back to. Someone asked about little Bedika, Meyer, or Bedika. Okay, fine. All right, everybody. Shukrach. Stay in touch, and if anyone has any topic for next Sunday, specifically their request, we could discuss it. Otherwise, we'll announce it on sometime later. Yeah, that could be exactly. We'll see what happens. Okay. Very good. Shukrach.